You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Thursday. Big night, big day ahead of us. Glad you're part of the program. If you're listening, if you're watching, emailing, tweeting, all the above. Come on in, stay a while. The Hall of Famer Reggie Miller will join us from the bubble. He'll be on the call tonight on TNT, Lakers-Clippers. Also, it's a game-time decision for Zion Williamson as the Pelicans face the Utah Jazz. More on that story coming up here in a moment. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to Chat Row. Also, those watching on youtube.com/TheDanPatrickShow and our great radio affiliates around the world, numbering 362 affiliates. Major League Baseball acted quickly, suspending the Dodgers reliever Joe Kelly for 8 games yesterday for throwing at the Astros batters. And it's a confusing punishment for us. Because on one hand, Kelly went high and tight, and that's unacceptable. You're throwing 96, 97 miles an hour at somebody's head, unacceptable. But we're still mad at the Astros because they got away with cheating. Now, nobody got hurt, but the problem is Joe Kelly is the first player actually suspended for the Astros cheating scandal when you think about it. Once again, Joe Kelly is the first player suspended for what the Astros did in 2017. None of the players from the 2017 World Series champs have faced any penalty. In some ways, the Astros have gotten a hall pass with everything going on. There's no fans in the stands to yell at them or hold posters. But Kelly and the Dodgers sent a reminder that no one is over this, and it cost them 8 games in a 60-game season. Now, that would be equivalent to 22 games in a normal season. And I know none of it's fair, and it's easy to see who's to blame. This whole incident reminds us that the Astros cheated baseball, and the whole sport is actually paying a price. And you go back to that word intent. Joe Kelly, were there intentions? Was there intent with him throwing inside? Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman. Well, did the Astros have intent when they cheated baseball? So if we're dealing with the word intent, feels like the Astros had intentions of cheating. Maybe you didn't have all the evidence you needed. But Joe Kelly, the intent, he didn't hit anybody. And he even talked about, hey, you know, I'm kind of wild. Even the broadcasters talked about that. Hey, you know, little lack of control there. Now, do I believe Joe Kelly was trying to send a message? Yes, I do. Do I believe the Astros cheated? Yes, I do. But it's the intent. If I can suspend Joe Kelly for the intent, then why can't I suspend the Astros for the intent? We tried to get a hold of the commissioner. He's got other things to worry about. Like, any more Marlins? Raise your hand if you haven't tested positive. But we continue with baseball. And watch last night. Dodgers won it in extra innings. And that's the approach you have to take. You don't want to, but I don't need an eye for an eye. I just want to win. And if I'm the Dodgers, this is about winning. You have to win this year. You're the most talented team in baseball. Just win. Joe Kelly, you sit him down for 8 games. Now, he's a reliever, but that's still 8 paychecks for him. He's going to appeal. They'll probably knock it down to 5. But the message has been sent by Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is protecting the Houston Astros. That's the bigger problem with all of this. We let baseball police itself until we don't want baseball to police itself. And that's why the commissioner came down so hard on Joe Kelly. If anybody else throws, this is what you face. But I still go back to what I've been saying for the last week or so. If you're going to throw at the Astros are coming back at you. And those pitchers have to protect their hitters. And then they're going to go after Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger. Then it's a bigger issue. You can't afford to lose anybody in this. You might lose a little bit of your pride. Do not lose one of your players. All right, poll question, McLovin, what do you have for me today?
Okay, this is L.A. related, but not baseball. I'll give you the Lakers or the Clippers to win it all, or the field. Which way would you bet?
I'll take that.
Which one?
I'll take the Lakers and Clippers.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'll do that. I mean, I like my odds there.
The Bucks ruined the party for L.A. a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there might be an outlier that I still think Houston, if Houston's healthy, now Eric Gordon rolled his ankle, but if Houston is healthy and they get a favorable matchup, you know, Houston could be an outlier, you know, and provide some damage here. Milwaukee, quietly moving along here. And if there's no issues, they should be the class of the East. But you never can tell with the 76ers. The 76ers are going to be really good or really average here. And you got Boston. Toronto is well coached. Maybe you have somebody else in there. But, yeah, I would take that. By the way, one Astro player was punished to a certain degree. Carlos Beltran, who was hired to be the Mets manager, then was fired after he was implicated in the scandal. So one former Astros player, after his playing career is over, we're going to come down hard on him. And that wasn't even baseball who was punishing. That was the Mets who were punishing him for what he did. Like, we're the Mets and we're not any good. Can he help us cheat? Yes, Paul.
Maybe that should have been the punishment for the Astros players who cheated. They were not allowed to hold a job in baseball after their baseball career is over. That would be a little bit of a hit. Now, not they may not want one, but if you're going to get fired from being a manager, then you can't be a manager.
Yeah, but I don't know how many of those guys want to be in baseball when they're done. They make so much money
right.
that you're going to go, hey, do you want to be a third base coach?
They're on their boat down in Miami.
Yeah. Altuve's getting another tattoo that he doesn't want to show us. Yes, McLovin.
Wouldn't that be unfair, though, if Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran were never allowed back in? Well, people were very excited about their managing careers.
Well, A.J. Hinch, too.
Yeah, and A.J. Hinch.
Yeah. I don't know if you throw, you know, do you throw yourself on the sword and say, I made a mistake. Can I come back from this? I don't know if an organization, and maybe if there's enough time. I mean, look at this. You got teams who are falling all over themselves to bring in Antonio Brown. Like outwardly, you know, trying to court him. Lamar Jackson said, we want Antonio Brown. Russell Wilson Jr. III, we want Antonio Brown. Now, that's a player who has talent. I don't know if you look at A.J. Hinch or Alex Cora and say, boy, we have to have that guy in our dugout here, or Carlos Beltran. But a player, we'll always look the other way. If you have talent, we look the other way. It's hard to really distinguish what is the talent by a manager. Because I feel like I might be able to manage a baseball game. I might be. Yes, McLove.
Do you remember when the former Saints defensive coordinator, Greg Williams, seemed like his career would be over?
Yeah.
He's been back a little while, right?
Yeah, but that's a guy who's just teaching you to go out and hit somebody, take somebody out. Like, that's not, he didn't cheat the game. I mean, there's been bounties for decades. And, hey, I got a defensive coordinator who's overzealous, and, hey, you know, he pays us $500 if we knock out somebody. All right. If I'm a head coach, I'm okay with having that guy because I'll basically say to him, hey, keep it on the down low here, but I want an aggressive defense in there. And Greg Williams, by all accounts, is a good defensive coordinator. It's just what he was preaching, practicing, got out. What other poll questions?
Well, the Zion topic.
Okay.
If you were the Pelicans, would you play Zion in the bubble?
No.
What?
I thought the Pelicans had a great opportunity to not play Zion, that the NBA provided them with an excuse that they didn't have to play Zion Williamson. Because if you, I wonder this, and I don't know if anybody would ever go on record as saying this. If Zion said he wasn't going to play in the bubble, would the NBA have extended the invitation for these other teams outside of the playoff picture? And my guess is probably not. You would have just had 16 teams in the bubble. But the first game back tonight at 6:30 Eastern, national TV, is Zion Williamson and the Pelicans. And that's the way it's being portrayed. But I'm looking at some of the quotes here. And, you know, Alvin Gentry is the head coach, and he said the medical team will still ultimately decide whether Williamson, who was away from the team for 12 days, so he had the family medical emergency, and then he was quarantined for 4 days. So he had been out for 16 days away from the Pelicans and playing and working out. He didn't go into detail about the family medical emergency, but he said that it was something that he talked about, the decision to leave and the timing to come back. And once he returned to Orlando, quarantined in his hotel room for 4 days, and now he's going to be coming back to play against the Utah Jazz. you got a whole career ahead of you. I don't need Zion. I'm glad that Zion is back. Hopefully he plays tonight. For my entertainment purposes, absolutely. But if I'm the Pelicans, I would not want to play him. He's had rest. I get all of that. But now he's had too much rest, too much time off. And he was in great shape. And now you have 16 days off. And then you're going to put him back in. Is he going to be on a minutes limit here, which is what I would have him do? But then they're trying to make the playoffs here. So it's just different for some of these teams. They have to win. Like the Lakers and LeBron tonight against the Clippers. How much is LeBron going to play? How much is Kawhi going to play? Lakers are already established in the number one seed. But these other teams trying to get in particular with Zion Williamson, no, I would not have Zion Williamson play. But now that he's there, they're probably getting, you know, they're the number 10 seed. So they're 3.5 games behind the number 8 Grizzlies. Yeah, Paul.
I think I disagree because, you know, I saw a post 3 weeks ago, Zion Williamson in perfect shape, best shape of his career. That was July 2nd. And I know he's been home, but he's been home. And I'm sure he has availability to work out like he did the past 4 months, availability to work out. And tonight, he'll get in game shape if he plays in the game, I would think. Not sitting there watching in a track suit.
I want him in game shape before he gets into the game.
Right. He should be because, I mean, he didn't.
No, but he missed 16 days. He was out at home with his family and then quarantined. So that's 16 days on the sidelines. That's what makes me nervous here.
But he is healthy, right? Like,
yeah, it'd be a healthy scratch, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But and you can't get up to game speed other than being in a game. You know, not practice, none of that. You know, when the bullets are flying, then, you know, that's when it's real. Then Zion needs to be in shape. I just don't want to take that risk on him.
I agree with what you said, though. You should either play him tonight and let it go and try to, because they're trying to make the playoffs, right? They have to win almost every game they have, or shut it all down and have no risk because they're not really winning anything this year.
No, and I understand that everybody wants to see him, and the NBA is trying to put him on display. Like, that's why they created this. The whole front end of they front loaded Pelican games to start the season, and then Zion got hurt. And now you're trying to backload the NBA season with games, the Pelicans. Pelicans will be there on national TV as many times as possible for as long as they're still eligible. Yeah, see.
Maybe I'm looking at this the wrong way, but isn't an abbreviated season, doesn't that sort of give everybody more of a chance at a ring? So if you're the Pelicans, do you want to wait for a full season to go after it, or do you want to try and grab this one now?
They're going to have a hard time just getting into the postseason. So if you said they were the Grizzlies at the number 8 seed,
yeah,
then I would say, all right, let's go. Let's see what we have. Let's go for it. You're 3.5 behind the Grizzlies. Now, I think they gave the Pelicans one of the easier schedules in the bubble. Man, they're doing their best. I can't imagine what it must have been like at the NBA home office. All right. Who could we have the Pelicans play? Could they play like Iowa State? Could they play Brigham Young? I don't know. How about inter-squad games? Can we make those count here? Like, what can we do here? Yes, McLevin.
So to get into the playoffs, they not only they have to get within 4 games of the 8 seed, they have to be the top 9 seed. So they have to beat out the Blazers and the Kings. And beat out the Blazers might be tough.
Yeah, because you got people saying the Blazers might be the dark horse here. And the Grizzlies are there at the number 8 seed. Sacramento, who knows what you'll get with that. But Zion is a game-time decision. We'll talk to Reggie Miller. What would he do if he were the Pelicans with Zion Williamson? And if I said you can have the Lakers or Clippers or the rest of the field to win it all, who would you take? 15 after the hour, we'll talk to Reggie Miller. He'll join us from the bubble. Phone calls are welcome. A little bit later on, we'll check in with the NFL. Their chief medical officer, Dr. Alan Sills, will join us. We'll talk about protocols here. And Notre Dame jumping into the ACC for the 2020 season. And you got basketball coming up tonight. 15 after the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show. Sleep number setting is 75. You'll find your sleep number setting if you go into a sleep number store. Also, they have Sleep IQ technology. But when you think about getting a great night's sleep, when's the last time you said, wow, that was different? Quality sleep is more important than ever. Not only is it a natural immunity booster, it also helps us with energy and recovery. Sleepers who routinely use their Sleep Number 360 smart beds featuring the Sleep IQ technology improve the quality of sleep by over 15 minutes each night. And proven quality sleep is life-changing because it helps us health-wise when you think about it. And also creating the atmosphere to have a great night's sleep. Ambient noise can be helpful if you find the right kinds. Don't drink caffeine past 3 o'clock. Keep your bedroom at a cool temperature. Optimal sleep temperature is in the low to mid-60s. All of these things Sleep Number has discovered, and you know, they put them on display for you to understand. Limited time right now. Save up to $500 on select smart beds. Shop your way. The Sleep Number store online at sleepnumber.com/Patrick. That's sleepnumber.com/Patrick. And good luck. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. This award-winning, award-nominated program brought to you by LegalZoom. You can start online. Their network of independent attorneys provide advice when you need it the most. And since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you don't have to leave your home. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. By the way, the Pelicans' 8 opponents in the bubble have a combined winning percentage of under 50%. That's the lowest among the 22 bubble teams. Zion Williamson is a game-time decision for tonight against the Utah Jazz. The other game will be the Clippers-Lakers. It starts at 9 Eastern. On the call will be Reggie Miller along with Kevin Harlan. And Jared Greenberg will join us as well. And look who is zooming in from the bubble, Reginald Aloysius Jr. III. How you doing?
Theodore, Theodore, my Danettes, I have missed you guys.
What kind of room great. You got there?
A room.
is it a suite?
It's a corner room / suite.
Okay.
Beautiful view. Look, no complaints on my end. We get basketball tonight, so I'm rolling with the punches here.
All right. So you've been quarantined.
I've been quarantined. I've been tested twice. I've been negative twice.
Yeah.
So I get to play tonight. I get to play analyst. So I'm just excited that we have competition.
Okay, but what's it like? So when you leave your – what time do you leave your room for a 9 o'clock game tonight with the Lakers-Clippers, and what's the protocol when you leave?
You'll be dressed up. I'll have mask on. I'll go downstairs. You'll have a temperature check before you leave to get on to it's like a media shuttle that heads over to the facilities. I'll probably leave around 7:30. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes on this shuttle. That's composed of mostly, the media. We're different from the players. We're housed differently. They're under a green zone. We're under a yellow zone. We're not as, it's not as intrusive. So you'll get your temperature check. You'll head on over to the arena. You'll probably get another temperature check when you land. Everyone has a yellow lanyard, and I'll just go to the green room and start prepping with Kevin Harlan and our producers and get ready to call the action.
Who you been hanging out with?
Me, myself, and I. I mean, we've been having a great time. And what's funny is my good friend, my best friend, my teammate, Mark Jackson, we're all here in the same hotel, but I haven't seen him. It's okay because we've all been tested and, you know, we should be able to, but, you know, we are in a hot zone here in Florida. And other than daily runs that I go on, I pretty much come back to my room, order room service. And I do have a beautiful view of a golf course. So,
but you don't play golf.
And I don't play golf, which is like a little baffling for me, but I have no bike, but I do have some Santa Cruz sponsorships down here. So I'm trying to get a bike to get on and ride a little bit. But mainly I've just been prepping and staying in my room.
All right. The main question is, have you had the wings at Magic City before, Richard?
I've never had the wings at Magic City. And I'm trying to think, truthfully, have I ever been to Magic City? Now, I've been to a few spots, but I'm not sure I've ever been to Magic City.
You didn't have the wings there, but you may have been there.
I don't think I've ever been to Magic City. Now, I've been to maybe other places in Atlanta, just not Magic City. So I would be the wrong person to ask how the wings are.
Okay, but if Lou Williams is your teammate, how would you react to that?
Certainly it's a distraction, especially in these unique environment in the setting that they're in. It's certainly a distraction. Is it a big deal? Personally, to me, no, but it's an unwarranted distraction on a team that absolutely has a chance to win a championship this year. So when I probably look at him cross-eyed, yeah, but personally, to me, it's not a big deal because he is so important to our team. I probably would have a conversation, but it's at the end of the day, to me, it's not that big of a deal. It's more of a distraction for the other guys that have to answer the questions about it.
If I gave you Lakers or Clippers or the rest of the field to win the title,
I would probably take those two teams.
Okay. Yeah, I would too. But I'm wondering, who are we missing out on aside from the Milwaukee Bucks?
People keep sleeping on the defending world champs. I'm telling you, Toronto, in an environment like this with no home court advantage, and you just go out and play, and you've got experience, and you've got a team that's been together, and that is one. I know they're minus Kawhi Leonard, but I think we'll see a different and better version of Kyle Lowry. Pascal Siakam, the All-Star, has proven that he is a gamer. You've got size with Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol, and Fred VanVleet is an unbelievable player and shot maker, and they are well coached by Nick Nurse. No one wants to talk about Toronto. I would not be surprised if they come out the East.
We're talking to Reggie Miller. Reggie's on the call tonight. Lakers, Clippers at 9 Eastern. Kevin Harlan will do the play-by-play. We were talking about Zion Williamson game-time decision here.
I'm a little surprised about that. Is it a game-time decision because is there an underlying health issue or because of conditioning? Because if it's conditioning – and you're 18, 19, 20 years old, get out there and play. Yeah. We have an opportunity here. And I know they're 3.5 behind Memphis.
Yep.
Memphis has one of the most difficult schedules in these seeding games. And I believe you mentioned this, New Orleans has the easiest.
Yeah.
So you have an opportunity to be within that 4-game gap to have a play-in game possibly, but also to – you're Alvin Gentry and you're the Pelicans, you're trying to build a foundation. You're trying to build for the future. So are you going to necessarily win a championship this year? No, but let's build winning habits, playoff habits. Let's play at a high level, intensity level. And for me, that includes having Zion on the floor. So if he's hurt or injured, I can understand that. But if it's coming from a conditioning standpoint, I heard him comment, I could play 48 minutes if I had to. Well, let's test that out. He needs to be on the floor playing, Dan.
Yeah, I just don't know that he missed 12 days when he went home for the family emergency and then came back, he's quarantined. So that's 16 days, which feels like an eternity for an athlete in a season that has been so stop, start, and now you're down 16 games where you can't get out of your room. Even if you were at home, you're not working out the way you would if you were with your team. I don't know if he's on a minutes restriction.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
if it's a minute restriction, you still have to play him. All right. Even if it's 5 to 6 minutes, a quarter, play him. You know, play his way into shape because these other guys feed off his energy. And this is a young, scary team, New Orleans, along with Portland. I think those two teams are really going to make a push for that AC and really push the Memphis Grizzlies. So it'll be interesting.
The Lakers and Clippers and their approach to these games before they get into the playoffs. What would be your approach for LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard?
If you're the Lakers, Clippers, Milwaukee, Toronto, and I'll probably even throw Boston in there. There's not a lot for them to play for in these seed-in games. So to me, health and finding a rhythm are the two most important things. So if you're LeBron and Kawhi, obviously they both are going to play tonight along with Paul George. And Anthony Davis, who has, you know, got poked in the eye and is going to be wearing goggles tonight, find a rhythm, because these eight games are going to go quick and they have to hit the ground running, getting ready for the first round. So staying healthy, finding a rhythm, cohesion. There's certain players not playing tonight. No Sweet Lou, no Montrezl Harrell, no Patrick Beverley for the Clippers, and then no Avery Bradley and no Rondo for the Lakers. So other guys are going to be in the mix here, and finding, if you're LeBron and if you're Kawhi, finding rhythm and balance with some of these other guys is just as important. So I think that's why they need to play and try to find some cohesion amongst one another.
After LeBron, who is the face of the NBA?
I would probably say James Harden. I would probably throw an up-and-coming Giannis, because he will be the MVP this year, and he'll be back-to-back MVPs, and he's very personable. But I think it's a huge gap. I think once Kevin Durant comes back a little bit and starts to play, you could throw Steph Curry in there. But, you know, we don't see a lot of commercials. Right now, it's a clear-cut favorite that it's LeBron. But who's going to try to grab the mantle once he starts to depart from the game? And to me, it's up for grabs.
Yeah, it's a pretty big drop-off. And I don't know if it was that big a drop-off with Jordan, because you still had Bird and Magic were still in the game. And, you know, Bird, obviously his talents were diminishing, though. But was it as big a drop-off, Jordan to the next guy in the face of the NBA, as it is now with LeBron and the next guy?
Well, we had Shaq. Shaq was emerging. Yeah. You had AG, you know, Kobe. I don't know if it was, you know, Tim Duncan.
But so a worldwide guy, though, because Mike was a worldwide guy.
I think Shaq is worldwide. I think Kobe was worldwide.
Yeah.
So, I think having a two-time MVP from Greece, that's pretty worldwide to me.
But selling products, though, is the – when you're – I mean, a guy that if you see him on TV, you go, oh, it's LeBron, or oh, that's –
And
Steph.
You instantly know, and yeah. You know their accomplishments, and you can understand that. But again, I think it's up for grabs. And I think Curry and what he has done in winning championships and MVPs, and he's such a great guy, I think that has helped, you know, be very personable to marketers.
Yeah, I was just wondering that when LeBron goes, you know, somebody's going to have to want to be that voice, to be that right. face. And you have to want it. You know, Jordan was it, but I don't know if he wanted to be it. He was just so good and so popular. LeBron is kind of sought this out, that I want to be the spokesperson. I want to be the face of this league. I don't know if the Greek Freak is able to do that. Luka Doncic, Harden doesn't seem like that's something that he would aspire to do. Steph Curry might, but he's, what, 33?
Right.
So, Anthony Davis is not that kind of guy. Kawhi's not that guy.
I think now you're starting to talk about players like Zion Williamson,
I know.
Right? But
I know.
Are we going to see him? I mean, I think that's the league. Normally, they like to start marketing, you know, some of these younger guys. And you mentioned Luka and Zion could be in that category as well.
We had Damian Lillard on the show last week, and I asked him, who's the MVP? And he said, LeBron. And I said, what's different about LeBron? And he said, he's just so smart. So now you get by. At what point does a player rely more on his intelligence, his basketball IQ, than his physical talents? And is LeBron there now where it's more about the mental than it is the physical?
Yeah, I do think he's there now, though he still at times shows flashes and glimpses of the 20-year-old years of LeBron James. But he's always been this smart. You know, he's always been this talented. But I think once you hit that magic age of 31, 32, I think as an older player, I played until I was 38, 39, you start to rely on some of those life lessons that you learned in your 20s. And I think that's what LeBron, he has that base. That's something that he can revert back to. And though I do agree to to a certain degree what Dame says. I think LeBron is the most valuable for his team, but in terms of play and the MVP, I mean, the numbers that Giannis has put up the last 2 years is something that we've never seen before. And you mix in his length and athleticism, and people say, well, he plays in the East, and it's, well, if I memory served me right, LeBron played in the East too for a long time, and no one held that against him. So we shouldn't hold because he plays in the East against Giannis as well.
Yeah, I think that they held it against LeBron because then he says, all right, I'm going to go West. He goes West. They have the best record in the West. He leads the league in assists. And like he's saying, all right, you want me to win championships? I'll go to Miami and win championships. Well, you need to go. You can't be a super team. All right, I'll go back to Cleveland. I'll win a championship. Oh, you did it in the East. Now let go West. So he's done everything that people have asked him to do. And I think people, we love a story. The Greek Freak, it was a story the first year he won it. It's right. Not a story this year. LeBron's more of a story, but you're right. The Greek Freak is the MVP. It's just writers and members of the media, they want to tell a good story. You can't tell the story of the Greek Freak again. We've already heard it. But LeBron in reinventing himself in Los Angeles and the kind of player he is, that's why I think he's probably got more attention than he deserves.
And I think this is why, you know, being in this bubble situation, again, and I can't stress this enough because I was able to go over to the arena and we, you know, kind of did a mock action call of that Houston-Boston game a couple days ago.
Did you get to shoot in there, Reg? Because I was curious about the background.
We're not allowed on the floor.
Okay.
We can't go anywhere near the floor because remember, we can't interact with the players, the officials, or any game officials. So okay. They're keeping us all separate, but there's not a lot of energy in there. And you, as a player, have to manufacture your own energy. I know they're piping in the virtual fans and they're having all the bells and whistles, but people at home, it is a little different. And I will say this, most of these guys are used to practicing in an empty arena. They all practice in their home arena when no one is around. So they're somewhat used to it. But it feels different playing at a high level type game with no fans. I want people to understand fans are so important to our game because it's that energy that they bring on certain plays. And something to watch during this next two and a half months, fans, they may not want to watch the officials because on block charges, on travelings, when you hear the moans of a fan, you know, sometimes that sways the officials. You don't have that now. So you're going to get a true sense of how officials calls games because they won't be swayed by the fans. They say they don't, but they do. And you're going to get a true sense of the officials during this experiment.
I was wondering about the background because when I think of a home court advantage, it's that feeling when you walk in and you know where you are on the floor and it just looks comfortable. Nobody has a home court advantage, but I didn't know the way the basket is and the depth perception. Is any of that going to be an issue for these teams? It will not.
No, not for shooters, no. And I believe of the 22 teams, they've all at some point, there's three arenas that the games will be played at. I believe all 22 teams have had a chance to either practice or play at each one of these arenas. So they'll be familiar with their surroundings. I think the quality of play will be the same. It's just, see, players like Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, Marcus Smart, Alex Caruso, those guys, that's in their DNA. And that, to me, that's why they are so valuable. They will be so valuable in a situation like this to rally their teams when the energy is a little bit low. It's guys like that that you have to have on the bench to kind of, you know, get the rest, rally the troops around and get going.
What are you going to do the rest of the day?
We have a Zoom production meeting. Everything is Zoom now, baby. We have a Zoom production meeting after this, and I'll go get a workout in, and I'll do some more studying. And then, again, I'll leave at 7:30 heading over to the arena for Lakers Clippers. Hey, this is my shirt. I want everyone take it like this.
Another
day in Paradise. That's all we're going with. Just another day in paradise. And I know you're a big golfer, Theodore.
Oh,
and
my here we go. This, a walk and talk.
I'll just tease you a little bit.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, that's my view. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean.
We had Rudy Gobert on yesterday, and I said, did they give you a view of the Eiffel Tower at Epcot? And so he picked up his computer and took it over to the window, and we looked around. He goes, nope, that's not here. Not here. Not much there. But
look, I got to give kudos to the NBA. I know they're spending, I read somewhere, $180 million on this bubble-type campus situation. They've done everything first class. And I was a little apprehensive. Again, I'm coming from California all the way here, traveling commercial into a hot zone. I know California is a hot zone, but Florida is like volcanic ash hot zone.
Did you think about not doing it, given you have young ones at home?
I thought about that, but I also thought this is my job, right? And, you know, we talked about it as a family, and they supported me, and I'm here in the bubble. So the NBA has been first class about this. And I truly, the people ask, what's the best experience about being in the bubble? And I tell people, being tested twice weekly and knowing that you're negative. To me, that's the best thing about the bubble, is that I know I'm negative.
Well, you feel safer there than outside of the bubble.
Right. Yeah. I'm inside of it, and I feel safe. So that's the best part.
We'll talk to you next week. Have fun tonight, Reg. We'll be listening. Thank you, bud.
Theodore, I miss you. I miss my Danettes. I love y'all. Let's do the little cabbage patch.
That's Reggie Miller on the call tonight on TNT at 9 Eastern. Play of the Day is up next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. I watched Jacob DeGrom against the Red Sox last night. It wasn't the typical Jacob DeGrom. And the Red Sox ended up winning that game. Watched the Dodgers and the Astros, and the Dodgers winning in extra innings. Let me see. You know, we talk about home court, home field advantage a lot. And home court advantage is a bigger deal in the postseason in the NBA than the other three major sports, baseball, NFL, and the NHL. Winning percentage in the playoffs by home teams since 2000. So the last 20 years, NBA, the home team wins 64% of the time, a little over 64%. The NFL is right at 64%. The NHL just under 54%. And baseball is 54% as well. But the thing to factor in, which is kind of unique this year, this NBA regular season, the home teams had a winning percentage of just 55%. That's the lowest in NBA history. So you can make an argument that home court doesn't matter that much anymore. Lowest winning percentage in the NBA at 55% this past season. All right, McLovin, did you settle on a poll question?
We started out with, would you shut down Zion if you were the Pelicans? 64% said no.
I'd like to know if there's any pre-existing condition or injury with him, and what's the trepidation here? Because if he's a game-time decision, can he play? And if he can play, then just limit his minutes. Like, why are you there if you're not, I don't know. I'm just curious as to, I don't want them to get into a situation like the Yankees did with Jabba Chamberlain. You remember that relief pitcher? And they just, you know, after a while, you let him walk on his own. But they babied him, you know, pretty much his entire career there. And he never was able to pitch out of trouble. Like, anytime he got in trouble, they'd take him out. And obviously Zion is a different player, and the expectation level is extremely high. But if you're going to have him play, then let him play. Are there going to be injuries down the road? Yes. The lack of conditioning? Okay. Have him go out and play 5 minutes each quarter. But if you're trying to build a culture, just like Reggie said, you want that team to experience things together because you have a young core there. I mean, you have J.J. Redick, who's one of the, you know, the leaders, veterans, but you have a young group of players, and you want them to experience this because the pressures that go along with this being a, you know, a marquee TV draw that you're going to be put on display for public consumption. Like, all of these things factor in the learning process, because it's rare when a team makes that big leap and then they're the team to beat. You must go through sort of the growing pains of that. You know, go back in history. The Bulls did that with Michael. The Pistons did that with Isaiah and the Bad Boys. Everybody has that moment where you go up against the better team and then you learn. And then you learn how to get past them. I want New Orleans building something. And I do think they have something special here. I love the young group that they have. And whether they make the playoffs or not, these are the building blocks that you'll take into next season. And I think that's the thing that I would be curious about. If Zion has something pre-existing or they're nervous about, then okay, I understand the game time decision. But what's going to be different about this game as opposed to the next game? And then the next game. That's what I want to know. Yeah, Paul.
And maybe go the opposite way with Zion. Play him tonight, tomorrow, the next night. If you're 3-0, you keep playing him. If you're 0-3, you're like, well, that's it. We gave it a shot. There's no need risking him in the last five games that were no longer eligible for the playoffs in any way.
Yeah, so but why is it a game time decision if, like, you can't just sort of be half pregnant? Like, are you playing him or are you not playing him?
My opinion is the NBA doesn't want to announce that he's out tonight because he's the reason most people are going to want, half the people are going to watch this game. Not just that the NBA is back because Zion Williamson is back. I'll bet they want to delay this announcement as long as they can. Mm-hmm. Conspiracy, but.
Yeah, but what's the mystery here? I mean, it's Zion Williamson. Is he going to play or not? Game time decision? What is the decision that needs to be made? Is he in shape? Is that what this comes down to? Now, weren't we told 3 weeks ago he's in the best shape of his life? And then he was, you know, out for, you know, being the family emergency and then being quarantined. So 16 days. All right. But, man, that was quick. He went from the best shape of his career to now he's a game time decision. If there's something that I'm missing here, it just feels like that. But if I'm the Pelicans, are you playing him? And what is the difference of tonight and then the next game? And then the next game after that? We'll check in with the Pelicans a little bit later on. Check in with the Dodgers after last night's win. Back-to-back wins. Joe Kelly down for 8 games. Finally, somebody suspended for the Astros cheating scandal. Just happened to be a Dodger. Who wasn't a Dodger when the Astros beat the Dodgers in 2017. And we'll check in with the NFL as well, coming up.